Hello and welcome back to Becoming Mom and Dad, except now we have become the mom and dad. This is our first episode back since giving birth. Our little girl Gemma was born on the 12th at 1:07, I believe, in the morning. And we are going to tell you all about our traumatic experience at the hospital. This is the start of season two. We decided we'll go ahead and start season two since we're not, well, Kaylee's not pregnant anymore, so it's a new chapter.
Yes, and Gemma's here. Say hi, Gemma. She can't really talk, but there she is.
Yeah, she's to my left in the lounger.
She's here with us, so she's gonna give all her input as well. I guess before we dive in, do you want to give just like a little one-liner on what parenting has been like so far, what you're feeling so far?
It hasn't been too bad. I mean, people kind of set you up like it's going to be a nightmare, and yes, there have been two or three mainly like nights where I've been frustrated, but overall it's been pretty okay.
Yeah, I think for me, kind of like the main topics are I'm grieving the fact that I'm not pregnant anymore, which is weird because it's just like I feel like a totally different person, which is good. I feel like more myself, but at the same time, I miss her being with me all the time. Two, the birth was traumatic. It was a lot different than what we had hoped for and what we expected. And three, parenthood has been really good so far. Like Skylar said, we had a couple of rough nights, but like last night, for example, I think we each got like 9 hours or more of sleep because she let us sleep for a long while and we only woke her up to feed her two times and we just took turns. So each of us only woke up for like 30 minutes in the night last night, which was really good. And we overall, I think you can agree, we have like a very well behaved baby. Like,
yes.
She's a really good baby.
I don't want to jinx it, but yes, so far.
But she's been a really good baby. She only fusses when she genuinely is like, you know, in need of something. And we've kind of learned like over the last week what have been her cues and like what she kind of wants. And she's become a little bit more predictable. I feel like the first day we kind of like didn't know what we were doing. And now I feel like a week and a few days later, we feel a lot better about it.
Kaylee had some experience in watching babies and taking care of babies. I had none, so I've had to learn everything from, like, square one.
But before we really get into too much more on, like, her, I think we need to preface with how she came into the world. So, do you want me to tell the entire story, or do you want to tell the story kind of leading up to the hospital so I'm not talking for so long? Because,
well, so the Tuesday before, she was born on a Thursday, right?
Yes.
So the Tuesday before,
which was my 40-week appointment.
Yeah.
I was exactly on my due date.
It was a normal day. No, I was like, yeah, but anyway, I was at work, whatever. She went to her appointment and her fluid was low. Was it amniotic fluid?
Yeah,
her amniotic fluid was low. So her doctor went ahead and was like, you don't have to rush to the hospital, but like you need to go to the hospital and we need to start inducing you into labor. So I, you know, told my boss and coworkers like, hey, like it's happening. I got to leave. And I left and I came home and we got our bags and everything for the hospital in the car. And then we took our time. We went and ate lunch because Kaylee didn't want to go into the hospital hungry. Because I think
they told me I could eat till midnight.
Yeah,
that night.
She could eat till midnight. So we went and got lunch, and I mean, I was a little bit nervous because I feel like she was hyper aware at this point, and she'd be like, oh, like, this feels weird, or something feels off, or whatever, and I was like, okay, well, let's just get to the hospital before anything happens. But we get to the hospital, they check us in a room, they were expecting us to be there, and, well, I think we sat in triage for, like, a little bit, because they had to clean the room, but, and then we got in the hospital, they put her in the bed, and they started giving Kaylee these like pills that would help dilate you, right?
Yeah,
they're supposed to help dilate. So we sat and they did those every 4 hours and checked like if anything had happened. And I think we got two of those.
Yeah.
And then they all of a sudden decided to switch to this other method, which I don't even know how to describe.
I can talk about it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Basically, the only thing I wanted to add to what he said so far is, like, you know, obviously going to the hospital, we were both like, okay, this is really happening. The reason she couldn't stay in was because with the amount of amniotic fluid I had, like, it just wasn't going to be safe for her in there. So they were going to induce me into labor. And then if worst case scenario, we were going to have to do a C-section because she just wasn't going to be safe in the womb like that anymore. So I actually did dilate a centimeter by this appointment, which was good because that means we had a pretty good shot at being able to induce me for a vaginal delivery. So yeah, we got there. They started the pills, which were going to dilate me because I basically couldn't start Pitocin, which is like the main labor-inducing like medication they give you, until I was 3 centimeters. So we had to get me dilated to 3 centimeters first. Once the pills weren't really working, they decided to go ahead and start the balloon method early, which I had no idea what this was. But basically, it's these balloons that they literally insert, and one sits inside your cervix and one sits outside your cervix, and they mush together with like a saline solution to dilate you manually. Up until this point, I was doing good, but the process of getting that put in was very painful. The contractions came so fast after that. They were like 2 minutes apart. They were pretty intense. But at this point, I was only 1 centimeter dilated, and I was like, I cannot get an epidural this early. Like, what are my options? And she said, well, there's a pain medication I can give you in your IV. And she was like, but you can get up, walk around, take a shower, whatever you want to do. So I decided to get in the shower first, like an hour. The hot water kind of helped me work through them, but I was in a like shocking amount of pain at this point. Like, I did not expect it to be so painful so early, but I think that's just part of being induced, and like the balloons themselves are unpleasant. Like, your body's being manually dilated by not itself, so it's probably expected to be pretty painful.
And like, I just wanted to add, like, when they started the pills, they originally told us that they were going to do 4 doses of the pills probably. And so it was going into nighttime, and we're like, okay, well, like, that's not really, she wasn't in any pain. And so we were kind of like, okay, well, like, this will be a chill night at first in the hospital. Like, we can probably get some sleep and stuff. And then it was like, I don't know, it wasn't that late.
Like, it was like 8:30.
8:30, they decided to do the balloon. And I remember I was going to get lunch or dinner for us. And Kaylee called me and was like, oh, like, they're changing what they're going to do. And I happened to be, I actually had forgotten the car keys. So I was passing one of the nurses, and I was like, oh, I was like, what's going on? And she's like, oh, well, we're going to change methods. And I was like, well, why? Because the last nurse just told us, because they had had a shift change. And I was like, the last nurse just told us they were going to be doing the pills all night. Like, why are we changing all of a sudden? And they were just like, oh, well, like, we just kind of want to speed up the process. So I'm not really sure what exactly changed to, like, speed up the process. I think someone had mentioned maybe they talked to ROB, and like, the ROB wanted that done initially.
She wanted the balloon done initially, I think.
And they, yeah, and they didn't do that initially. So, but that was just kind of like, because then we went from like, oh, we're gonna have like a still kind of a chill night doing this, to like, now all of a sudden Kaylee was like in pain and dealing with contractions pretty much the rest of the night.
Yeah, so I got out of the shower, and then that's when she was like, we can give you pain medication through your IV. So I got in the bed, and at this point, like, I wasn't on a catheter or anything yet, so I could still get up and walk around, go to the bathroom, whatever I needed to do. But when they first administered the pain medication, I literally felt like I was high. It was like insane. She was like, it's going to make you sleepy. And I asked her, like, my mom was in the room, but I was like, is this supposed to make you feel high? Because I do. And she was like, oh yeah, like, that's normal. So they were allowed to give me that medication every 2 hours. And right at the hour and a half mark, I would start to feel the pain. So like every couple hours, like for 30 minutes in the middle of the night, I was waking up and like had to push through the pain until they could give me more medication.
I think we slept like an hour and a half, and then like she would start being in pain, and I'd wake up to that, and then like the nurse coming in and like re-administering the pain medication.
Yes, and then up until like at like 2:30, they were like, yeah, we can't really give you any more of the medication, because I don't know why, I guess just they didn't want to give me too much. And so I kind of just chilled until like 6:30, and then I was like, okay, whatever, like, this is, you know, I'm chilling. And then they decided that morning, like, I dilated enough. I think I was either 3 or 4 centimeters, and they were like, yeah, we can do the Pitocin now. And they were like, you know, do you want to go ahead and get the Pitocin started now? And I was already mentioning, like, well, when can I get an epidural? Because I know some people do get them closer to, like, 5 centimeters. And so I was like, when can I get that? Because I knew as soon as they started the Pitocin, my contractions were going to pick up, and I was already in pain. And they were like, well, we'd like to get the Pitocin started first and then do the epidural. And I was like, no, I want the epidural first. So I kind of had to put my foot down. But they came, they gave me the epidural. Honestly, that process wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I will say that they had a new person give me my epidural, which we'll talk about this more later, but I wasn't really thrown off by it, because they were like, oh, he's given epidurals before, he's just new to our hospital. So I was like, okay, whatever. Like, he gave me the epidural. I felt a lot better. Like, my legs were numb, the whole 9 yards. I got my catheter, because at this point, obviously, I can't walk anymore. So basically from 9:30 until I give birth, now I'm bedridden, which ends up being close to, I guess, close to like 12 hours I'm in the bed straight, which ends up being longer than that. But from when I get the pain, the epidural to birth was about 12 hours. Actually, no, it was about 16 hours. So anyways, I'm chilling in the bed. I get my epidural. They start the Pitocin. I don't really feel the contractions. At first, I'm kind of chilling. I'm like, oh, are those contractions? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, I can barely feel it. Like, cool, nice, whatever. After a couple hours, I start to get these really sharp pains, like, in my right side of my body. Like, sometimes it's in my uterus, sometimes it's in my back, sometimes it's in my hip. And I have my heating pad and my fan, and I'm kind of just working through it. But there were a couple points where it got really painful, and they have a breakthrough button on the epidural. And I think it's like an extra little dosage that you can kind of like administer yourself, and you can push it like once every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
For a maximum of 3 times an hour. So I tried not to use it unless I really felt like I needed it, but there were a couple times where that pain was so bad I just had to push the button. And it did help. But it didn't help for very long. And then I would go through phases where like the pain was at ease for a little bit, and then it would kind of ramp back up. And then it started getting to the point where, like, when it would ramp back up, I started noticing it was only on my right side. I kind of started putting that together. I'm like, okay, why is this only affecting the right side of my body? So then I started questioning, like, if my epidural was, like, because it can be, like, a fraction of a millimeter off and not work on one side. So I'm like, they must have, like, put it in wrong. And I kind of said that to my nurse, and she was like, well, they do have these things called like hot spots, and like you might just have one of those, and like, you know, whatever, we'll give you some more, we'll push your button and do that and do what it needs to do. So she kind of seemed to think like, you know, it was normal for some people to, for it to not react as well on one side. So I was like, okay, whatever. And so then it kind of like just gets, you know, obviously I'm getting more and more dilated. The contractions are getting more and more painful. I think I finally, they said I was at a 6. And then I was at a 6 for like 4 hours. And then it took me like, I think at some point, maybe around 2 or 3 in the afternoon, I finally got to a 7. And then I was like, it took so long to get to a 7. Oh my God, 3 more centimeters. That's looking at like 12 more hours of this. So I was kind of just like bummed out. And then at this point, they decided the Pitocin wasn't working as well. And so they decided they were going to restart it. And I guess by that, they turn it off. They had me chew some Tums, which were supposed to like reset the Pitocin receptors in my body and then start another bag of Pitocin. And I think that actually worked because I did end up getting to a 9.5 on my, like after that. But basically that whole process was from like 9 a.m. to like 9 p.m. It was like 12 hours of the Pitocin kind of like trying to dilate me and induce labor. They ended up breaking my water at some point.
Yeah, I don't even remember when
I know
was.
They did. It was sometime in the early, I think it was sometime in the early evening around 4 or 5, which kind of like helped pick things up. No, I didn't feel it at all. It was so strange. So this whole time I have a catheter in, I have my IV in, I have my epidural in, I was on all kinds of drugs. And then they ended up like having to give me a different type of anesthetic because my right side of my epidural just straight up wasn't working. And so they came in, they administered that to me at some point, and that took me, like that recovered me for a while. But then I don't know if it was that medication mixed with the Pitocin or whatever, but then I started getting really, really nauseous. And like every couple hours I would just throw up. And it was like stomach acid, obviously, because I hadn't eaten anything. And Skylar was getting grossed out and I had these little barf bags and I was just like puking and in pain. And then it was like I would get the next round of medication and I'd be good for like an hour, and like in those pockets where I was like not in as much pain, I would, you know, tell different family members they could come in the room.
Yeah, because we had like our whole family was in the waiting room.
Yeah, they all got there like 9 in the morning, and at this point it's been like 12 hours of the whole day they've all been here. You know, my parents, Skylar's parents, my 2 sisters and 2 of my nieces. So I was just like, oh my God, like this is horrible. And then it would go to be like, I was chilling for a minute and couldn't feel my contractions. All I could eat was ice. The ice is what powered me through my entire actual labor process, to be honest. I was eating popsicles. We had Christmas movies on.
Yeah, I want to say like having a baby around Christmas was kind of clutch because you have like those
endless stuff to
yeah, you have like the endless movie marathons on TV. So it was like at least I wasn't trying to also figure out what the heck to watch to distract ourselves.
Yeah, so it was fine. I feel like overall, like if you had to look at those 12 hours, what would you like, how would you describe it in one sentence? Like what I went through or like the pain that like kind of like, how would you, if you had to one sentence describe that entire process of it, what would you say was happening?
A bad time.
Okay.
I don't know. It was rough. I don't know if I can say it in one sentence. It was just, that was a rough time. And I want to say as like the dad or like the husband, like when you're in that room and it's going like that, it is like very, it was very hard for me to like I kept like a good demeanor and like stayed like solid the whole time, but like inside I was like so like I was like upset that she was going through so much pain. Like it was hard, it was really hard to watch. Like,
yeah, and honestly, like I said, there were good moments, there were bad moments, there were moments I was feeling okay, there were moments I was like in dire pain, and it was what it was. And then we got to the 9.5 centimeters. This is maybe about what, 9:30 at night, something like that. They come in, they check me, and they're like, all of a sudden, they're like, yeah, we're going to start pushing. And I was like, oh my God, okay, this is finally going to be over. It's finally happening. They come in, my sister, my mom, and Skylar in the room. They ended up not kicking out my mom, which was nice of them. But I start pushing. Apparently, everybody says I pushed really well, that I was pushing good.
Oh, she was. I mean, she didn't have any, like, Kaylee wasn't getting, you know, she wasn't, like, screaming or anything like that. And, like, she was very, like, solid with it and was like not freaking out. Like, I mean, she did a good job.
I would ask for ice in between each push to kind of like help calm me down, because at this point, like, they had given me that second dose of like that anesthetic that kind of really blocked the pain out, like already like a couple hours before, and they couldn't give me any more because at this point they kind of knew that I might have to have a C-section if this wasn't going to work, so they were hesitant to give me any more medicine. So I was kind of just like towards the end. Apparently I pushed for an hour and a half.
Yeah,
it did not feel like an hour and a half to me. It felt in my brain it felt more like 30 minutes, which I guess is good because I didn't have to really feel how long it was. But at this point, like, you know, the pain medicine was pretty much wearing off. Each contraction, me pushing was kind of getting through the pain, but I would like chew the ice in between to kind of like calm myself down. And then after like an hour and a half of pushing, they basically come in, they try to get me to lean on my side because apparently the baby's head was like not coming through my, I guess it was my pubic bone or my pelvic bone, whatever it is. Her head was not wanting to push past that. And they kept saying like, oh, I can see your head, I can see your hair, like, you've made this much progress, you only have, like, less than halfway to go. So I was like, okay, any minute, she's gonna come out. And then they were like, okay, let's go ahead and get Jamie in here, which is my OB, and they were like, all right, like, she came in, and I was thinking, like, oh, this means the baby's fixed and come out, like, whatever. She kind of checks my cervix, and she's like, yeah, we're gonna call it, like, we don't want to do this anymore. We're just gonna give you a C-section. At this point, like, I felt so defeated, like, as a mom and just like as a woman in general, like, because I had been through at this point almost 36 hours of like from when we started the pills and got to the hospital to this point, and it was a bummer, like, not gonna lie, like, I was sobbing, like, I was not happy. Skylar walked out of the room, like, we were just all kind of like so to the point where we were just like, why did we have to go through all of this?
I was
gonna get a C-section in general, and at this point, like, all I wanted was to get out of the bed, and, like, you know, I was hoping, you know, if I give birth any minute, like, that's only an hour or more before I can get out of the bed, get a shower, all this stuff, like, feel more comfortable, and then they tell me that. So I was just, like, I was honestly just so upset, wasn't even focused on the pain for, like, 20 minutes. I was just, like, crying, and I was, like, you know, this is basically my worst nightmare coming true. I don't like hospitals. I'm afraid of surgery. I'm afraid of, like, everything like that. So I was just, like, panicking about that, wanting to get up. I was hungry, I was thirsty, I wasn't even allowed to drink water, which was crazy to me. I did not know you couldn't drink water. So the whole day I hadn't drinking any water, my lips were so chapped, my mouth was so dry. I was tired of that sensation of my legs being numb, because, like, for a while it's like fine, but then, like, you can't feel your legs and you feel like you can't even move yourself in your bed. So, like, my back was getting uncomfortable, but every time I wanted to move, people had to help me move, and it was just like, it was just a lot. So at this point, I was pretty defeated.
And it was like, I mean, not to, like, we've talked with family members and stuff about it, like, in depth, but, like, just to hit on it quickly, like, we did think it was pretty, you know, like, unfair, or, like, whatever you want to describe it, that, like, they had us all in the room when she was pushing, and, like, they had us all thinking, like, we were, like, it was almost done. I mean, they were like, oh, look, like, they were showing us on their fingers, like, how close she was to the, her head was to coming out, and that they could see her head and all this stuff. Like, they were telling us, oh, like, go ahead, like, you're gonna be able to eat soon, like, and
go
telling us
and
to go
food.
Yeah, order her food and all this stuff, so she had something to eat. And then, like, so we're all like, okay, like, this is it, it's almost done. And then it was just like, they came in, they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna do a C-section, which it was just, I don't know if they were doing that because they thought maybe, like,
I really do believe they genuinely thought
I mean,
I had a chance to get her out. some of my family has very conflicted opinions on the nurses and the staff of the hospital and, like, the choices they were making. I just try not to think about it too much because I, you know, at this point it is what it is. Whatever happened, happened, and I don't want to get more upset about the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like my family thinks that, like, they should have called the C-section sooner, or, like, there's no way they couldn't have known I wasn't going to be able to do it until that moment. Like, they just feel like, you know, and I feel like it, for them, it's more of like they all watched me suffer all day long. And so I think they were just more upset, like, that I had to suffer for so long when they could have just called the C-section, like, you know, in the afternoon when I was in all that pain and vomiting, they could have called it then. And then, like, she could have been out and I could have been a lot better, like, earlier. And I don't know if that's because, you know, I obviously expressed that I didn't want a C-section to my OB before I went to the hospital. So I don't know if that was, like, they genuinely believed that, like, I really had a chance of pushing her out, or, you know, they didn't know her head was going to be misplaced, or they didn't know, like, I don't know. I just don't know if they just
were, or we trying, thought maybe they just tried everything,
every method
as to, like, long as possible to avoid a C-section.
And I know, like, at the end of the day, the hospitals want a vaginal birth. Like, that's, like, the ideal goal. It's safest for the baby. It's safest for the mom until it's just not anymore. And I think that's what they were kind of trying to do, was give me that experience, because I'm not going to lie. Like, I've gotten emotional a few times over the last week of, like, the fact that I didn't have that moment where I pushed her out and held her and, like, cried with Skylar, and, like, it was a moment for us as a family of three. We didn't have that. And so that's kind of, like, the grief that I've been processing over the last, like, week, is just, like, that experience. I don't feel like it was taken away from me, because I know a lot of people have C-sections and it's fine, but it does kind of, like, take away that, like, birth moment from you. But anyways, do you want to talk about how you were feeling at this point once they said I was having a C-section?
I just really, like, that when they said it, like, Kaylee was obviously, like, really upset, and I just, like, sat down, because, like, I was, like, upset, and I was, like, mad that she had to do that. And, like, I guess for me, I mean, I had been there in the room with her, like, the whole 36 hours, whatever we said, and, like, had watched her be in pain. And I mean, like, I know we're saying, like, oh yeah, she was in pain, like, there's not really a way to describe it unless you were there. I mean, like, I mean, it was
confusing, like, because, like, some of the pain wasn't that bad, but then there was some of the pain that was really bad.
Like, sometimes she'd be fine, like, sitting up watching a movie, and then other times she was, like, in the bed, like, almost crying, like, just in so much pain. And it's like, for me, I was sitting there, I can't do anything. Like, there's nothing I can do to help besides, like, I would get her ice or whatever, but, like, that's all I could do. And so, like, I was just, like, at this point when they said they had to do the C-section, and it was, like, what, like, midnight?
Yeah.
And I 11:30. And, like, yeah. I guess, like, I had thought, like, oh, this is almost over, and then all of a sudden it wasn't, and, like, I just really, like, couldn't, I, like, didn't know how I was going to sit there and watch her be in pain, like, for more time. Like, I was just so, like, I don't even, like, at this point, like, I'm not going to lie, like, at this point, like, I think Kaylee had kind of, like, asked everyone to leave the room, like, her mom and her sister, and, like, I was just in there with her, and then you were kind of, like, fading, like, out of, like, I don't know if you were sleeping, but it was, like, you were just weren't really, like...
I had my eyes closed. Well, okay, so at one point I stopped crying, and it wasn't because I was, like, fading or whatever. I just, at this point, I was just trying to accept that this is what was going to happen, because there was nothing else I could do, and I was, like, at least it'll be over. Like, I have to have this C-section, but then I'll be done. Like, because at this point... We had gotten there at 1 p.m. on Tuesday, and this was, like, 11 o'clock p.m. on Thursday. So, like, it had been, like, at this point, 34 hours that we had been there. And I think at this point, I was just, like, I felt defeated, but then I kind of surrendered, and I was, like, I don't care anymore. Like, I just want it to be over. Like, I'm tired of this. And at this point, like, they gave me a medicine to stop the contractions, which didn't work. I continued to have contractions. And the worst part was at this point, because of the amount of pain, like the stuff they were gonna have to give me for the C-section, they couldn't give me any pain medication at all.
Yeah.
It was completely wore off. Finally, an anesthesiologist, whatever, came in and was like, let me just check your epidural to make sure it's in correctly. I never heard back from him whether or not it was in correctly. And, like, I was kind of, like, you know, not working on the right side because of that or whatever. I still believe that could be part of it. I'm not sure. But I think they were mainly just checking it to make sure. Because, like, once you have an epidural, they don't have to do a spinal tap to C-section you anymore. They can just put the C-section medication through your epidural. So that's what they did. Which I think that made my C-section recovery a lot better.
Yeah.
Because I was able to walk, like, pretty quickly. I had all my feeling back pretty quickly. But yeah, they gave me the medication through the epidural, so they were checking that. And then this is where I started to just, like, I was in so much pain that I was literally, like, not dissociating, like, out of body, but, like, I was purposely just dissociating my brain out of the experience to, like, push through the pain, because I was, like, asking Skylar every 20 minutes, like, why aren't they here to do the C-section? It had been, like, an hour. They told us 20 minutes originally, and then it was probably almost an hour before they actually wheeled me back, and it was miserable. That was the most pain I've been in the entire time.
Yeah, they...
And the contractions were nonstop. They were heavy. I was 9.5 centimeters dilated, and it was miserable.
They after they just said, like, where they were going to do a C-section, they were like, we have one more... They said they had a surgery going on, not a C-section, like, some other surgery was happening. And they said that after that, the team would come up and do the C-section. They're like, oh, it'll be, like, maybe, like, 30 minutes. And then, like, 30 minutes went by. And I remember, like, I went. And then, like, Kaylee was, like, in so much pain. And she, like, kept asking me. Like, she was in pain. The baby's heart rate was up to, like, 200.
And no one told me this either. I didn't know her heart rate was that high. I don't know if they just weren't telling me to, like, not make me freak out. Apparently my blood pressure was really high, and I had a fever.
Yeah, and so, like, I'm, like, honestly, I'm sitting there, like, internally freaking out because, like, all this stuff is happening, and, like, I'm, and also just the fact that we're not done. And, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I was, like, on the verge of, like, I could have cried. I just, but
you
I,
did
like,
cry at some point.
Yeah, I did, like, a little bit. Well, that was when we talked about, we'll get to that. Anyway, so then, like, so that she's, like, miserable. I mean, like, miserable. Probably, like, the worst. Even though the pain earlier in the day had been bad, like, this was, like, the worst she had been in. And, like, I kept, like, asking the nurses. I'm, like I'd call them and be, like, she's in a lot of pain. And they'd just come in and, like, maybe readjust her. But, like, they couldn't give her any medication. And then, we're, like, when are they? They said, like, 30 minutes. 30 minutes went by. Nothing had happened. And then I'm, like, are they coming soon? Are we going to do this soon? And they're, like, oh, yeah, like, they're on their way. It'll be, like, 20 minutes. And then 20 minutes went by and still nothing. And then at one point I went to ask the nurse again. And then, like, I caught my mom was out there. My mom was talking to, like, the OB and the nurses and was like, what's going on? Like, you know, we were told that she was going to have a C-section, like, in an hour. And that was, like, 2 hours ago. And they were just like, oh, well, like, we have to wait on the team to get here. And they were just telling her, like, it's not an emergency. If it was an emergency, trust us, we'd have her in there right now. And, like, they just, you know, so we were just stuck waiting. And
because then, I wasn't in an emergency situation. Yeah. Like, they knew it was serious. But, like, I guess in one way it's comforting because I know that if something was really bad happening, they would have done it right then. But at the same time, like, it wasn't. So I just had to, like, deal with the situation until they could get there. And then at this point, like, do you want to talk about what happened after that with my sister and you? And
So then, like, one person was allowed to go into the operating room with her. And I honestly, like, at first I didn't want to do it because, like, one, I just, you know, I also like do not like hospitals, and, like, surgery, like, freaks me out. I've never had a surgery, and I, like, just didn't know if I could be in the room. And then they were kind of freaking me out too, because they were, like, saying, oh, like, you know, it's going to be, like, a very intense smell. And they were saying how, like, they've had, like, lots of dads or whoever, like, pass out or throw up or need to leave the room. And so that was, like, getting in my head. Honestly, the best way I can describe it is, like, I don't like roller coasters, and it felt like waiting in the line to be on a roller coaster. Like,
well, who told you all that stuff, by the way?
Like, the nurse. The nurse told us. Why would
they
tell us.
You that? Like, I almost feel like it would have been better for them to not tell you and, like, you just go in there.
So, like, then, like, Kaylee's sister had been, like, a super big help through all this. I mean, like, there were times when, like, I wasn't really at the capacity to, like, comfort her. Kaylee and, like, her sister, like, jumped in and was able to. And, like, so I was like, well, I finally told Kaylee, I'm like, maybe your sister should go in with you, because, like, I just don't know if I can, like, handle it. Like, because also it was, like, I had watched her be in pain, like, which we talked about this, like, I talked about this with Kaylee, because, like, I'm like, I've watched you, this is when I was, like, crying, because, like, I was like, I've watched you be in pain for, like, so long, and I was like, I just don't know if I can go in and, like, do it anymore. I don't know if I can still just watch them, like, operating on you and all this stuff anymore. But, like, we talked, and
from my perspective, when he told me he didn't want to go in the room with me anymore, I felt betrayed. Like,
she's mad.
I don't think I'd ever been that mad or upset with anybody in my entire life. And I'm not blaming him for not wanting to be in there, but, like, the way I looked at it is he kept saying, like, I've watched you go through so much. I've watched you go through so much. Like, I can't do it anymore. And I was like, I'm the one that doesn't have a choice anymore. I'm the one that's gone through all the stuff and had to endure all this stuff. And I was like, for you to tap out when I have to be forced to do this is not really fair. And like, I'm not even gonna lie, like, I still think to this day my feelings in that moment were so valid, because I was just like, you know, it had been a horrible 24 hours for both of us. Like, we both were suffering. But, like, at the end of the day, I'm not going to sit here and act like Skylar suffered more than me, because that's just not true. Well, no. Like, and that's what I'm saying. I guess at that point, I was like, you can't just, like, man up for 10 more minutes and just come in the room to, like, help me. Because at this point, I was like, I didn't want anybody else in there. I was so freaked out of surgeries. And, like, Skylar truly is, like, my place of, like, peace and comfort. And so I was like, I told him, I kind of looked him in the face, like, you have to go. I was like, I don't care what you're telling me. Like, I hear you, but, like, at the same time, I don't hear you, because this is not an option. I'm like, you have to go. And I even told him, I was like, if you go in there and you feel sick and you feel like you're going to pass out, then just leave. But I'm like, I at least need you to try, because I was like, I cannot do this without you. And I was like, I've been through so much, and for you to just, like, give up the last, like, stretch is just, like, not fair to me. It wasn't fair to, like, the whole situation. And so I kind of just told him, I was like, yeah, like, you're going in. Sorry. We ended up putting some, like, we got my sister's perfume, like, roll-on perfume, mm-hmm. and rolled it in a bunch of, like, KN95 masks for Skylar so he can wear them and, like, not smell the smell. And I even reassured him. I was like, Skylar, they're going to put me on so much medication when I go in there. I was like, honestly, when I'm getting the surgery is probably the most calm I will have been all day. Because he was worried I was going to be in there, like, in pain and, like, crying and whatever. And I was like, no, like, once they put me on the medication and, like, you know, numb me down there, like, I'm not going to feel anything. So I was like, this is probably going to be the most peaceful you're going to see me the entire day. So I think that might have helped him feel better about it. But yeah. So how did you feel after, like, once you came to terms with the fact that you were going in?
Yeah. So, like, I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. And then they, like, she said, like, I put two masks on, and, like, we literally put, like, perfume and, like, chapstick and all kinds of stuff, like, inside it. And then her sister even gave me, like, two cough drops to suck on when I was in there, mm-hmm. to help with all that. And I honestly, like, it wasn't bad. Like, they brought her in and they made me wait outside for a minute. They're like, they're gonna set up the curtain and all that stuff. And I was like, okay. And then once they did that, they brought me in, and I just walked in. I couldn't see anything that was going on with the surgery. I just, like, got a stool next to her head. And then also, they had, like, doped her up, like, so much. Because, like, when I walked in, they're like, one of the anesthesiologists was like, yeah, like, they're like, she's a little out of it. Like, she was just, like, super anxious. So we went ahead and gave her some, like, I forgot how they said it. Like, I don't know what they said. But they were like, we gave her some medication. Like, so she's like out of it right now. And like, she was like, oh, I don't even know what you were doing.
Yeah. What was your, like, how did you feel emotionally about the fact that I was so, like, drugged up?
Honestly, I was like, I felt better about it, just because I knew you were, like, you were upset and you were anxious. So, like, I think that was, like, the best, decision to have done. And, like, you asked me if I was in there, like, every 5 minutes, and I was like, yeah, I'm here.
Well, the problem was, he didn't scoot his chair up closer to me. He never, like, made himself visible in my line of sight. So I was like,
I was afraid to move. They put me in the seat, and I was like, okay, but I was like, I don't want
to
move.
And then finally I told him to scoot up, and he was like, I'm in a stool. And I was like, okay, scoot the stool up. And I think the nurses kind of told him, like, yeah, you can scoot up closer, like, to her face. And at that point, I think he finally, like, scooted up a little bit towards me so I could actually see his face. Oh, hi, baby. But yeah, so it was just a lot. And then, do you want to talk about the rest of the time you were in there? What happened from your perspective? And I'll give my perspective.
I mean, it really wasn't anything crazy. I mean, they were operating, and Kaylee was like half conscious, and she was just like, at one point they were like, she was like, oh, like, I feel a lot of pressure. Like, what was that? And they were like, oh, that's your baby being born. And then I could, like, hear the cries, and they pulled her out, and they put her up over the curtain so Kaylee could see her and I could see her, and we saw her.
Yeah.
And then they, like, brought her to, like, a little, I don't know what you want to call it, like, the medical bassinet thing.
Like, the little heat lamp.
Yeah, situation. And they were, like, cleaning her off. And I remember at one point they were like, oh, Dad, do you want to go over there and see her? But, like, for me to get over there, I would have had to, like,
walk behind
the curtain and see what they were doing to Kaylee. And I was like, no, I'm okay. And I sat there, and then, I mean, they just, like,
I remember we were talking about her hair. You were talking about her hair to me.
Because she had hair. Because we had all, like, I mean, for some reason that had been a hot topic the whole pregnancy. She was going to have hair when she was born, and she had hair. And then they cleaned her off and they brought her back to Kaylee and like put her right next to her face so she could see her and like talk to her for a minute. And then they took me and Gemma and we went out of the room and we went to the nursery and, yeah, we left Kaylee back there.
Yeah. So from my perspective, I'll try to keep it short. I was finally getting rolled back into the OR and they told me Skylar would have to wait for a minute to come back there. And I was pretty chilling at this point. Like, I mean, I guess I was anxious. I don't really know. At this point, I was so out of it still. But like, they rolled me back there. And the only thing I kept asking was, I was like, you know, my epidural didn't work. How do I know that this medication that y'all are going to give me to numb me for my C-section is actually going to work? And they kept telling me, the nurses kept telling me, oh, well, the doctor's going to, like, check and make sure you're numb. Like, don't worry about it. But I kept asking the same question, like, how do I know it's going to work? And then, like, they were pinching my stomach. And I kept saying, like, oh, I can feel that. I can feel that. And at this point, as they're pinching me and testing the situation, I literally felt my mind leave my body. Like, it was like, I was like, they put me on so many drugs. And I think I remember at one point I was asking, like, am I high? Like, am I literally high right now? And they were like, yeah. And I remember being like, oh my God. And then all of a sudden, like, they were like, oh yeah, dad, go get dad. He can come in here. And then like, he came in and like, I don't remember him coming in. I don't remember him like saying anything to me. And then I finally was like, is Skylar in here? And they were like, yeah, he's in here. And then he like finally showed me his face and all that. And then like, this to me felt like 30 seconds. I'm not even kidding. From like when they were like talking to me about how they were going to check me to see if I was numb. And then Skylar being in the room. And then all of a sudden, like, Skylar was there. And then I felt a lot of pressure. And I thought that was them making the initial incision. And when I was like, oh my God, I felt that. What was that? They were like, that's your baby. I was like, it was like, it all just like flashed so fast in front of me. I was like, how did this happen so quickly? Like, I even remember telling Skylar, like, I didn't even think they started it. Like, I didn't even know they were already doing it. And Skylar was like, yeah, there she is. And like, I was looking at her and like, this is the part that like doesn't make me emotional, but I was kind of just like, what I was talking about earlier is like, I remember seeing her, but my vision was so, you know, I was so high. My vision was like blurred and it was like all such like an out of body experience. Like, I remember seeing her, but I don't remember at the same time. Like, I do, but, like, I didn't really see her. I saw her more when they brought her closer to my face, and she was right there, and I remember, like, seeing her and, like, talking to her, and I remember when they brought her to me, she was crying, and I was like, shh, and she stopped crying, and it was okay, and then whatever. I do remember the entire time after they first pulled her out, I kept asking Skylar if she was crying, because I couldn't hear her crying. And I think that had to do with, like, the drugs I was on. Like, I just, my hearing and my vision was not all the way 100%. So I just kept being like, is she crying? Is she crying? And then they were all kept saying yes. And Skylar kept saying yes. And I was like, is she actually crying or, like, not really? And they were like, no, she's crying. It's fine. But I legit could not hear her crying at all. Like, it was like, what did her crying even sound like? Did it sound like real crying? Because
I don't know, something like a baby crying.
Yeah, I literally just, like, couldn't hear it. And so anyways, then Skylar left the room. Basically, the last 10 minutes of them was just them, you know, putting me back together, stitching me up, all that. And I remember I kept asking the nurses, like, oh, like, how long am I going to be in here? What's happening? Like, and I was, like, chilling. I wasn't feeling anything. I will say the C-section part itself was the least, like, horrible part of the entire experience. Like, honestly, like, I've already talked to Skylar, and I was like, you know, if we have to have another baby, well, not if we have to. If we have another baby, obviously, and I want to at some point, but when we do, I was like, at this point, like, you know, once you have a C-section, you can kind of say, like, hey, I want another C-section. And, like, you know, they can just, like, they can't really tell you no. And so we've already kind of, like, talked about the fact that that's probably what I'm going to do because my birth experience was so traumatic and I hate that for me. But, like, it is what it is. And I don't imagine a world where I, like, want to even attempt to go through that ever again. So, like, unless for some reason I'm, like, pregnant again and I go into a natural labor on my own and, like, things are going well, like, I'm probably going to schedule a C-section for my next baby and be done with it because it was honestly so easy.
It was my one intuition that was wrong because throughout the pregnancy, like I had like the intuition at the beginning that you were going to get pregnant on our first try and you did. And then I had the intuition that it was a girl and I was right. And then I had this intuition that you were just going to have like I honestly thought you were going to have like a really easy birth.
I thought so too.
And like that one was not right.
Yeah, no, it was far, far from the truth. And like, I don't know, like obviously on a spectrum of like the hardest labor and the easiest labor. I don't know personally. I haven't been through labor but one time. So I don't know if I'm on like the worst end of like the average labor or not. But if I had to guess, I would say my labor was pretty extreme compared to the average person.
At least that's what, like, all our family members are, like, multiple people are, like, you had like a really rough birth. So yeah, that's what we have to go off
But
of.
At the same time, it's like I've heard stories of other people like hemorrhaging and like all these things during childbirth and all this stuff. So it's like I don't like to sit here and be like, yeah, my labor was so hard, because I know there's people that have had it worse than me. And I will say overall, like looking back at the experience, it wasn't horrible. Like it was, but at the same time, like it wasn't like if you had to ask me if I had to do it again to have another baby, I would. So it's just a lot. But anyways, so like we came out of the surgery. I was honestly paranoid for a minute that I was never going to be unhigh ever again in my whole life.
She outed me to the jacked anesthesiologist. Oh, yeah.
The anesthesiologist that put my medication in when I had my eyes closed originally the first time apparently was super ripped. And Skylar asked me, like, did you see that guy's muscles? And I was like, no. And he was like, well, that guy Chandler had, like, he was jacked. And so, like, in the OR, after Skylar left, I remember Chandler, who I thought was Chandler, was talking to me because I'm like, you know, I'm really high, and I'm looking up at this dude, all I see is bicep. And I'm like laying there, and I'm like remembering what Skylar told me, and I literally asked him, I'm like, is your name Chandler? He's like, yeah, why? And I was like, well, my husband said you're jacked. I was like, and he was just like, oh, okay, like, whatever. And so.
Oh, anyways. And then also, like, before they took me into the operating room, it was funny because they were like, do you have your phone? And I was like, yeah. And I'm like, why? I'm like, do I need to call someone? They were like, no, for pictures. And I was like, oh, yeah, right.
Which I'm glad the nurse, was it a female nurse that told you that? Yeah, I figured.
It was like, Kaylee.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm glad she did, because I was like, if you would have not got pictures, I'd have been so mad. But anyways, yeah, we got pictures, all that stuff. I'm pretty sure you could have asked a nurse to take a picture of all three of us, because people have those too, but it's fine. Anyways, I got out of the recovery room. I know, like, I was wheeled back to my regular room, and I remember, like, before I even went into the C-section, I told the nurses, I was like, I don't care what Skylar's doing when I come out of that room, because he was the only one that was allowed to be with me for the hour recovery that I had to do after. I was like, I don't care where he is, if he's with the baby or whatever, you get him and you bring him back to my room, because I want to see him afterwards. And they went and got him, and he was, like, telling me the baby was, you know, obviously beautiful and healthy and, you know, all the stuff, like, trying to tell me how much she weighed and all that. And I was, like, obviously happy about it. But at this point, like, I was so hungry. I was just thinking about food. And I was like, where's my pizza? And, like, they told me I could eat in 30 minutes. And so he ended up, I let him go back out in the room and, like, out of the room and go back with the baby. My mom and my sister, after the 30 minutes was over, because they told me it was an hour recovery and then it ended up only being 30 minutes, I guess, because, like, everything was going good. Everybody else, like, saw the baby pretty much while I was recovering and left, except for my mom and my sister, and Skylar. And so finally, once, like, all the recovery was over, and I kept asking when they were going to bring the baby in, and they were like, oh, we're finishing up, like, doing her stuff, and then we'll bring her in. And I remember they brought her in, and, like, that felt like the first real time that I met her. And I held her, and I was, like, surprised because I didn't cry. Like, I wasn't super emotional the entire time, but I think it was just because of everything mentally I had been through leading up to this, and, like, the drugs and mixed with everything else. Like, I wasn't super emotional.
We were in, like, survival mode.
It was, yeah, like, so, but it was obviously a good experience. Like, I was holding her, I was taking pictures of her, like, you know, all that stuff. And then, like, I actually didn't get my first picture with her until we were being discharged. Like, I had Skylar take pictures of me and her, like, in her going home outfit and stuff. Other than the ones that he got of me in the operating room, because I was just like, you know, it was all such a blur, and like that wasn't even like on the forefront of our minds at this point. And I think overall, like, it was so much better after I finally gave birth, and like everybody came in, and like Skylar did skin to skin with her, I did skin to skin with her. And then we kind of just hung out. My sister was honestly the best blessing to us during the hospital stay, because she ended up staying overnight. She had not slept at all since we had gotten to the hospital at this point, other than like in her car for a few hours the first night, because she did not want to leave the hospital. And so she ended up staying like in our room with us like the first night after we gave birth, and like, you know, whatever, and literally took care of Gemma the entire night. Which was kind of like, you know, obviously I didn't come out of the OR until like 1 a.m. I think by the time we were all going to sleep, like me and Skylar were actually going to sleep for the night, it was like 4 a.m. And my sister stayed up with her from 4 until like, you know, 9 or whatever when we woke up. At this point, the doctor came in the next morning, and I was like, oh, so like, you know, they say 48 hours for a C-section. I was like, is that 48 hours from 1 a.m.? Or are y'all going to wait the 48 hours until 1 a.m. on Saturday, but then make me wait till the 7 a.m. nurse gets there and discharge me, you know, like closer to 56 hours out. And she was like, oh, I was actually thinking you could leave like tomorrow. And so I was super happy about that. But then a couple other things happened in between. like then and when I actually left, like my blood pressure was still high. So they were monitoring that and giving me medication for that. They saw that my iron levels were super low, which if you've listened to the podcast, surprise, surprise, that was low. So they were giving me iron pills and they told me like those two things could keep me from leaving when I wanted to leave. But luckily they let me leave still so basically I only was in the hospital for about 16 hours after my C-section because I gave birth, I guess it was closer to 36 maybe, but like I gave birth at 1:07 a.m. and I left the following morning at like 10. So it wasn't too bad. But we did make it through and she's here and she's a perfect baby. She's healthy. She's beautiful. Whatever. And now we're home. So,
yep.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. And we got home, and honestly, being home was like the most relieving feeling. When we got home, I don't even remember where you went, Skylar. You went somewhere to like get something really quick or do something like that first night we were home, and I was like alone with her by myself on the couch for a few minutes. He left, and I remember like texting him, being like, and that was when it finally hit me, and I sobbed, and I just sobbed for like 20 minutes, and I was like, you know, this is everything I've ever wanted. And like he was gone, and I was with the baby just holding her, and I was like, I have the perfect baby. Like, it's Christmas. My husband's amazing and supportive. And I was like, it all just kind of hit me that like, this is my real life. And that's when I finally felt that like moment of like outpouring love for the baby and like all that stuff. Watching Skylar walk out of the hospital with her when I was being wheelchaired out was very emotional for me too. Like, just, we were actually taking our baby home after like the longest 9 months of my entire life and the longest 3 days of my entire life. So it was really good, but
yeah, I'm just glad, even though it was hard, like, everything turned out good in the end, and Kaylee's, like, recovery with her C-section has gone really well. Like, she's
apparently been better than most people.
Yeah, she was been moving around. Like, she started moving around, like, earlier than, like, other people said she would and all that, and I mean,
I got in the shower, like, literally 6 hours after my surgery. I was like, absolutely not, I'm getting in the shower. The nurses were surprised at how fast I was walking around. I was walking around the hospital room. I was walking around at home. And there were a couple times I had to like get off my feet and sit down because it started to hurt, but like I never took the prescribed pain medication they gave me. I just took a leave and it was fine. And then I would say by like day four of being home, I was like pretty normal at that point. Like I still asked for help off the couch sometimes if I had been sitting for a long time. Coughing hurt, sneezing hurt, laughing hurt, but like it was bearable. And then I would say like even now, like I feel pressure on the incision when I do certain things, but it's not painful. And I'm sleeping really good. We both got good sleep last night and the night before, which was like crazy. And Gemma's such a good baby. So,
yeah, I mean, the one thing about the C-section is it forced me to I've never changed a diaper or like done anything with a baby.
First,
and it was like
12 hours.
Yeah. The first 12 hours, like Kaylee couldn't really hold her or get up or anything. And like her sister was there and she helped a lot too. But there were times like, I was like, all right, I gotta change this diaper. I gotta feed the baby. I gotta figure this out like right now. Like,
mm-hmm. Which honestly I thought would make me more sad than it did that I wasn't the one who fed her for the first time and like changed her diaper for the first time. But I think honestly, like with the labor that I had, I was just so thankful that she was here and she was safe and I was healthy and she was healthy. And at that point I just wanted to enjoy the fact that it was all over and like let them handle her and like me take a break finally. But yeah, she's here. And I think this episode obviously was going to be long because we had a lot to talk about. And I do think there's things we need to talk about still of like our first week at home.
Yeah.
So we'll probably do another episode honestly here in a couple days because Skylar's still on leave. Maybe shortly after Christmas, we'll talk about like maybe we'll do like our first 2 weeks at home episode, mm-hmm. like this coming weekend. Because there's a lot we still wanted to talk about that's happened since we got home as well. So, maybe after Christmas we will record a first 2 weeks at home little episode because this Friday will be our 2 week mark of bringing her home. So, thanks for listening with us this whole journey and thanks for supporting us and all that.
And now's where we get to, think how dumb we were for how things we thought were going to go with raising the baby.
I will say, if you are planning, like trying to do a birth plan and all that, like do a birth plan, do whatever makes you feel comfortable, but don't be so hard on yourself when things don't go the way you thought they were going to go, because that was kind of like what I struggled with for a while, was me feeling like my body failed. I failed as a woman. I failed as her mom. Like not being able to do the labor the way I wanted to. But that's not the case, obviously. Like, they're going to do whatever's healthiest for you and the baby, and you just got to tell yourself if things don't go to plan that, like, it's okay. Because I've finally come to terms with the fact that, like, it's okay that we had the experience that we did. And that experience brought me her, so.
And if you're a dad, just when you're in the hospital, just do whatever mom asks and be there for her and keep good composure. And that's,
I will say, that's pretty much what I have to give you. Skylar was very supportive at the hospital. He got me my ice when I needed it. He got a lot of stuff, when I needed it. So I was very thankful for that. But yeah, just hang in there. If you're pregnant, your birth is going to come soon. If you're scared of birth, it'll be okay. I went through a lot, and at the end of it, I can say that it was okay. So thanks for tuning in for this episode. We will talk to you guys later on this week, and hopefully we will be able to give you some insight on what the first 2 weeks of life are as parents.
Yep. Thanks for listening, and we'll see y'all later.
And Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas. Bye.
Bye.